The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Florida Department of Health, Escambia County.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And yes, sir, we are getting ready. It is the season, hurricane season, that is. I don't like to say that word. Sometimes we just call it the H season around here. We whisper it very softly. But we can get ready, and we have our friends with the Florida Department of Health telling us how we can get ready. They are here as our guests this morning. Marie Ma is here. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning.
And we also have Carolyn Growley. I hope I got that. Growley is here with us. So tell me your titles, and then you had talked about being prepared. So maybe not necessarily for hurricane season, but prepared in general for all kinds of things.
Well, okay. And I, like you said, I'm Marie Mott with the Health Department, and Carolyn Growley here is with the Center for Independent Living. I'm going to let you tell everybody a little bit about CIL and what you guys do, and then we'll get into the main topic.
Great. Okay. So I'm Carolyn Growley with the Center for Independent Living of Northwest Florida, and we work with people. Thank you. We work with people with disabilities of all ages, all backgrounds, all disabilities, trying to help make sure that people have those resources that they need to be successful in life, whatever those directions are that they're taking. It's their journey from A to Z, and we're along on wherever they would like us to be.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about preparedness, and that's one of the great reasons that I'm so happy Carolyn could come today, because, you know, we think about preparedness and we think about things like food and water and maybe, you know, whether or not we're going to evacuate and when we're going to do that. But there's a lot more to it for each of us individually. Everybody's kind of, you know, got different needs that we need to be prepared for. So
correct. And that's why this is going to be a critical element of that preparation.
So. Yeah, and we've touched on things like, you know, family and pets and things like that. But we'll start with Carolyn and the tips that she's got and the resources that she has access to. And then we'll maybe backtrack into some of the things that I usually touch on when we talk about this topic.
Great. Okay. So let's get started.
Great. Well, thank you again so much for having us. And, you know, it's because of things like the radio station, like Cat Country, that and like the news radio portion of the station, both sides, that people get information. So it's really critical that people be tuned in, not just today to our particular broadcast, but in general, having that information being available, having it available auditorially as well as in print, because that way people get more information that can be sent to them.
Well, one of the things that's good news is that at any time during a storm or any time that we have a major power outage, once your internet goes down and your phones go down, the good news is most FM and AM can still transmit and send the signal out. So that's what's helpful. If you have that radio transistor ready with batteries, so you can tune in and get the information that you need from both of our stations.
Absolutely. And so one of the pieces that we always talk about, too, is looking at getting that weather radio as well.
Yes.
Because that way they can be informed. But for people with disabilities, part of what they need to think about is, am I staying in place or am I going to be evacuated? And the time to make that decision isn't the last minute.
Correct.
So we do a lot of talk with folks right when they first come in with us to talk about, do you have your emergency preparedness plan? Because it's not just, as you were just sharing, it's not just about the H word. It could be the T word. It could be an F word. It could be all kinds of words.
Floodings,
fires.
Yeah, there's a whole list of those.
It could be accidents that take place, all different kinds of things. But the more prepared that we can each be, the better off we're going to be going forward. And so what we do is we have part of that emergency preparedness piece is we have a sheet that we have them help fill out for themselves, and anybody who would like to do that sheet is welcome to come by and pick up a sheet so that they can have all their emergency numbers right at their fingertips, know what those pieces are. We can laminate that for the persons so that they will have a hard copy so that weather-related, it doesn't disappear. And then if they want to make changes to it, we're happy to help them make changes as well. But some of those pieces that are really important is that We used to say only a few days that you needed to be prepared. Well, now we say it's a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be, have that week's worth of everything that you need. So anything you might need for any of your health matters, your disability matters, being able to make sure you have a way of contacting your family, your friends, et cetera, to make sure that people know that you're okay. Making sure that you have, as you already said, the food and water. But the biggest piece is to really make sure that where you're going to be is going to be safe for you and whatever disability matters you're going to need. And again, if we prepare that ahead, one of the nice things about a hurricane is we usually know more than 5 minutes ahead.
Yes.
So people can prepare, as well as if they need to evacuate, they can make those arrangements. And that it's really important to also fill out the special needs shelters information so that they're already aware of what are some of the things that they might need if they had to end up in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they get to the shelter? Not waiting again to that last minute, but being able.
Transportation is critical.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So being communicative with ECAT or with their other service providers or, again, their friends and family. Most people with disabilities actually don't need to end up in the special needs shelter, though. Just because you have a disability doesn't mean that you need even more, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is that you need to know what you need, how you need it, and what's important, urgently important, so that that information can be then triaged when they end up at the special needs shelter, if that's where they end up going, or to be able to be at a general shelter, but this is what I need to be successful in this space.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing how do you pack for yourself? How do you make sure that you have those items in your possession?
Well, talk a little bit, because we kind of jumped the gun here, but I wanted you to take just a minute to tell us about the Center for Independent Living of Northwest Florida. You're the executive director.
Correct.
And so maybe people aren't familiar with what you offer and some of the services you provide, because what you're doing today is very specific. Of course, we're getting that information out, right, which is very critical.
Absolutely.
But maybe just a quick background, too, in case someone's listening for the first time and they're not aware of the services you provide.
Great. Well, thank you. So we've been, our center has been in existence for 45 years. We're celebrating 45 years in July. So we
congratulations. That's amazing.
Having everybody in the community be able to support and join us, because critical now more than ever is that we have the resources that we can continue to provide to the community. But we do five basic services and then many others as well. So we have information and referral, independent living skills, individual and systems advocacy, peer support, and nursing facility and transition services from schools that we do to make sure that people are staying out in the community. And the reason that's really important for diversion in emergencies is just because there's an emergency doesn't mean I need to be in an institution.
Mm-hmm.
And we want people to understand that for their family members as well. But again, having those resources is what's so critical.
Right.
And so we try to help make sure that people get connected to those correct resources. And we are able to offer people different types of durable medical equipment when it's needed, or helping them find the right technology equipment that might be best suited for their particular matters or needs, even if it's not us that's funding it, although we do have two smaller grants that are really helpful right now to help people have some of those resources as
mm-hmm.
well. But we have the FAST program that allows people to try things before they buy, not because we're selling anything. We sell nothing. But what we do is we try to help make sure that the right resource is the one that they're going to spend their money on, or that their school is going to spend the money on, or the insurance is going to spend the money on,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that it really is connecting them to having that most successful outcome.
And so just to make sure that people understand that are listening, that you also serve Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton County. So
that's
we've
correct.
Got a broad reach. And the definition of disabilities, I suspect, is a broad definition.
Absolutely. So anything that impacts you to function differently than you think you might have functioned before
mm-hmm.
is the best way that I can describe that for a short answer. But it really is anything from almost from A to Z. We have a sheet that we have a PowerPoint on that we use when we're educating in a training center kind of way. And there's about 50 disabilities on that sheet. And the reason there's just 50 is that's all really that fits on the sheet.
But, right.
But if you think of all different kinds of things that could be impactful,
mm-hmm.
It could be somebody who has significant migraines. It could be lupus. It could be cerebral palsy. It could be spinal cord injury, diabetes. It could be all different kinds mm-hmm. of conditions that people may have, amputations, It could be that somebody had cancer, but now things are different because of the treatment that they had and right. what was going on for them and how can they survive post that experience. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ways that people can be invested in our community and be part of everything that we do every day. And that's because you get the right supports in the right way that you need, whether it's equipment or it's peer support or advocacy or the skill that you need that changed, you are able to then go back out into the community and do all the same things that you were doing before. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes we do them a little bit differently.
I love that. The goal of being independence. Having that independence.
Exactly.
You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Our guests this morning, we have Marie Ma with the Florida Department of Health, Carolyn Growy, who is here with the Center for Independent Living. If you've got a question, definitely text it in at 850-437-1620. And time is already flying by, but I do want us to mention quickly, you've got a big benefit coming to celebrate your 45th anniversary. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have a Sapphire Soiree that's
Ooh,
happening. On
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event for sure. It's going to be on July 26th at Culinary Productions. Mm-hmm. And people can register for tickets. They can put items into the auction. They can donate. They can sponsor if they'd like to. But we really want to know is that day it's going to be a great event and come out and have some fun with us and be a way of helping to support the disability community. A way that we can keep moving things forward for the
Excellent.
Next 45 years as
And that's
well.
Going to be at Culinary Productions on Wright Street, Saturday, July 26th, 6 o'clock. Where can we get tickets?
You can get tickets either online at our website, CILNWF.org. You can give us a phone call at 850-595-5566. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook as well.
And how much are the tickets?
And tickets are now $150 for an individual. And then there's a slight discount for couples and then a little bit more discount if you're buying a whole table.
Well, it's all for a great cause.
Absolutely.
Okay, so thank you so much for sort of giving us the background on all of this and now moving on to our topic, which is getting ready.
Getting ready. Oh, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that one.
Welcome to my world when the frog gets in your throat, right when you're about to say, hey, news radio.
So we definitely want to remind people that now is a time to be thinking and planning because Like you said a minute ago, waiting until the moment to make the decision is not the best idea. And be thinking of what are your needs? What are the things that that you have in place that you need to have with you in an emergency or a disaster? So if we lose power and you're sheltering in your home or if you have to evacuate to a shelter or to a place out of state, you know, what are those things that you need to have at the ready mm-hmm. or access to be able to function optimally. So if you're, you know, using resources to help with a disability, be thinking about, is it a consumable resource or is it something you need to be able to transport? I'm going to let Carolyn talk a little bit about that. But before I get back to her, you know, thinking about things like your medical needs.
Mm-hmm. Prescriptions.
Prescriptions. A lot of times when a disaster is imminent, you can get pre-fills on prescriptions that you normally can't get refills on. So paying attention to that and taking advantage of that when it happens, making sure you rotate your stock. So if you do pre-fill your prescription, don't use the brand new bottle.
Right.
You know, put it at the back, of the box and use up what you have. Same thing with things like medical nutritional supplements is the mm-hmm. thing I have experience with. I used to work with a lot of clients that were using a tube feeding to support themselves. And, you know, making sure that you're rotating that stock and having enough for a couple of weeks extra.
Oxygen, if you're a person on mm-hmm. oxygen
will be another
things.
Good one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of having a checklist of those things so that, because those are kind of things you can't keep packed and ready to go all the time.
Right.
You got to gather them when it's time. So, you know, having a checklist of those things that you want to pack up and take with you or make sure you have enough of in the house, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other things are important documents, you know, your insurance card, your home insurance, your medical records,
your Medicare card and your social security, all the social
all those cards. Yeah. You know, keeping them in some kind of wetness proof.
Waterproof?
Around here is important. Waterproof, wetness proof container, at least a Ziploc bag or a vacuum sealed bag if you can do that, or a box that's got a rubber seal on it, something like that. If you have a service animal, I probably should let Carolyn do a lot of this talking because I bet you have better experience with the resources that and how to access them and what people need. So.
Right. Well, for service animals, to also make sure that then you're taking enough food for your service animal to be able to eat, and taking ways to, you know, taking the baggies that you would normally, when you're at a park, be able to clean up after your animal. You need those with you as well, because those are things, as an example, when it's an emergency, maybe that's not the first thing on your mind. And I would beg to argue slightly different with you, Marie, that I would say keep your emergency bag always ready. I have a bag at my house personally that always has my basics in it. Now, of course, the bottle of insulin, I can't have 10 bottles of insulin sitting in there. I need to grab that back out of the refrigerator, but you might need a cooling pack. You may need additional syringes or a different device. Like I'm on the pump, but if something happens to the pump, I need those extra batteries. Right. If something happens that I need to change the tubing because it got pulled out because of the emergency, you need to backups. Be able to be ready.
Backups.
Exactly.
And one of the tips I've learned over the years, being involved with EOC and other things, is that you want to, if you make your plan now, so if you're going to stay, then at the very least, have someone that knows you're staying. So in other words, someone that can you can kind of book in before this, just to say a storm's coming in. Someone you talk to and say, I'm home, I'm safe, I got everything I need, I'm good. Okay, I'm going to call you in an hour, or I'm going to call you in 6 hours, but have a plan so that you're in contact with someone, and the same goes if you evacuate. Because the worst thing is when someone thinks you're home, they get there and you're not there, then they're panicked because they're wondering what's happened to you. So if you're going to evacuate, let someone know where you're going. Give them an estimated arrival time. Then they know, okay, we were supposed to get there at 11, but it's 11:30. I haven't heard from you. Then they can actually take action. But communicate with someone. It doesn't have to be necessarily someone, even if it's someone that's with a volunteer organization or something. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would agree 100% that being able to communicate with others is really important. I can give you the example from a Santa Rosa fire that was at least 2 years ago, where the fire actually jumped the highway.
Oh, gosh.
Which is kind of a weird thing.
Oh,
to
I think
happen.
I remember that one.
But we were able to take our query from our database and see exactly who was in that area that we work with. And we were able to reach everybody but one person.
Wow.
And then when we couldn't reach that person, we went to the sheriff's department with that address, and they checked on that address. So again, we're preparing not just ourselves, but the community, right?
Right.
So we try to help make sure that information gets out to everybody as best we can. So keeping up your information current with those who you have contact with.
Very smart.
It's really important.
Just takes a phone call, really. So that's a great
phone
thing
call,
to do.
Text, email, whichever way the person communicates best is how we want them to stay in touch with us as well.
Okay.
And that kind of goes into the communications piece and the planning piece, having a communications plan with your people, whoever they are, if they're your blood family, if they're the family you've, you know, created with your circle of friends. You know, we go over this with our kids. You know, this is what we're going to do. You know, we have kind of a storm's coming and this mommy's going to do this and dad's going to do this and that kind
everybody's
of thing.
Role.
But there's times that we sit down and we're like, you know what would happen if something happened and none of us could get home?
Or even get in touch with each other.
Where would you go? How would you find each other kind of thing? So
having this like the emergency reunion point.
Yes.
One of those things where, okay, if something happens, we're all in different places. Where are we going to try to be? And you have a place that you're going to be that might be, I don't know, somewhere north of here or something like that, that this is where we're going to try to get to.
Yes.
That's always a good backup plan.
Yeah, where are you going to try to meet up? How are you going to try to communicate? You know, first thing we'll try cell phones and, you know, we'll try calling this. And, you know, if not, we'll call into the CIC and, you know, leave a message there.
Right.
You know, whatever we can do. So having that, being able to communicate is important, but having a communications plan also is going to be another important thing. So.
Right. Absolutely. And so, I mean, one of those pieces is, again, by being able to, if you are a person who's coming to see us at the Center for Independent Living, presently we're downtown at 21 South Tarragona. We can see people for appointments. We have no waiting list. We try to make sure that we see everybody as they're needed. It's much better if you can make an appointment than if you just walk in, but we will take walk-ins as well.
Is there any age limits on it?
No.
Old or young?
No, all ages. If you have a disability, you are welcome. And if your family is there or your caregiver's there and they want to support you in coming in, we're welcome to see them as well.
And you can look on your website to kind of see what qualifies as a disability.
Any person who has something that's different in their life than they were dealing with yesterday, that's today, we are happy to try to work with them. And if we aren't the right person, we will get you to the resource that's correct for you.
That's great.
That's kind of our piece, is to make sure that we don't leave anybody behind. We're always about doing what we can to make sure people have the resources they need to get where they're going. So we get that emergency plan ready. We also do education. Sometime in July, we don't have a date yet for that at the moment, but please reach back out to the radio stations and to the health department, because we'll be doing an education series again this summer to help make sure people know. But we'll be doing another training on what is it like to be a person with disability in the emergency, and try to have some of our community partners, so places like health department, BRACE, ECAT, looking at all the folks who are with Red Cross, et cetera, to make sure that we're really connected together, that we all know what to do when we are in facing that emergency. Typically, you're not going to see CIL and our team out in the middle of the emergency itself, but you'll see us as a response and recovery effort.
Right.
If somebody's equipment breaks, if somebody can't get what they need, we want to know about that, because we're going to help get those resources. And that's something that recovery from disasters is something that Centers for Independent Living across the country work at as well.
So I have a question for you, because you gave me a brochure on FAST, Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology. We've got a couple minutes left. You want to touch on that? It looks like you're doing something together with them.
Yeah, so we've been a FAST demonstration unit here in our area for more than 20 years. And what we do is, through that, that's the technology program where people can come and try different technologies. And we have Refurbish, Reuse, Recycle. If people have equipment that they're not using anymore, we're happy to take it in good condition, make sure it gets sterilized and back to use, and then we get it out to folks as they need it. If it was a storm and your wheelchair is now broken or you got hurt and now you need a walker or a wheelchair, please be in touch with the community, with ourselves, with the EOC, with the health department, and we will get the equipment to you as soon as we can.
That's great. That's great to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now we have, in our emergency packets, we have a charger. So for folks who are persons with disabilities who come in for services, they will be eligible to receive one charger per family.
Oh, that's great. And this charger
Able to help, you know, restore some of that service that you might have lost in some of your pieces.
Mm-hmm. Is that a solar charger?
Solar charger.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And we also have some larger solar chargers that we have 12 of them that are able to go out to locations with people if it's needed, so that we can help make sure that somebody's power chair might get recharged or some other battery pack device that needed to be recharged. But again, not during the storm. This is after the storm. And again, reminding everybody, please be prepared for up to 7 days where somebody may not be able to get back to you. And I don't mean that as a center. I mean that as anybody in the community. If communications were down, if we didn't have access because of flooding, if we had fires and people couldn't get to you, have what you need if you're going to stay in place. Have that plan ready. Make those arrangements early. Contact the center at 850-595-5566, or visit our website at CILNWFasInFrank.org, and we're happy to service you any way that we can. We just love being part of the community, and thank you so much for having us on here.
Well, thank you both so much. We're about out of time already.
We're thankful for your preparedness partnership, though.
Yes, fantastic. Marie Mott here with the Florida Department of Health. Carolyn Growie, who is also here. She's Executive Director for the Center for Independent Living of Northwest Florida. Thank you both for being here. Great information. Definitely check these agencies out, because there's plenty of help if you need it.